Chicago Motor Club presents The Wayside Theater. Welcome to The Wayside Theater, ladies and gentlemen. That unusual radio playhouse specializing in dramatic entertainment for the whole family. Each Sunday evening at this hour, the Chicago Motor Club presents the play of the week, written especially for the Wayside Theater. And now to every motorist, here's the message of the week. Learn how to spend less to own and drive your car. That's exactly what the Chicago Motor Club's 75,000 member families are doing every day of the year. Why, many of them save much more than the cost of membership through the club's emergency road service alone. Don't delay finding out how you yourself can enjoy real motoring pleasure and real motoring economy. Put in your request this very evening for the club's free booklet with its interesting title, Spend Less to Own and Drive Your Car. Write to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or its nearest branch office, or just call Franklin 1818. This evening's play, written for the Wayside Theater by Tanya Corday, is entitled Madcap Princess, an exciting story of expert marksmanship of Dan Cupid among blue-blooded targets. And now the Chicago Motor Club presents the first act of Madcap Princess.
But you would agree with me, sire, that your years are declining. And in case anything should happen to your majesty, would you not rest easier if the Princess Arwen had a worthy consort by her side?
Methinks the princess is well able to care for herself. She's a headstrong, willful minx, but she has a level head on her shoulders, and I doubt not will make a fine ruler.
True, your majesty. But your subjects are clamoring that she take a husband. After all, she's 20.
Yes. It would perhaps be better if my little Alvin settled down before I leave her. Have you anyone in mind?
Yes, sire. There is Claude, King of Charente.
A weak woman of a man with his perfumed poodles and milk baths.
There is Rudolph of Zenobia.
A gross, fat wretch who thinks of naught but his stomach.
That leaves Prince Scarabel, sire, but...
Well, what is the matter with him?
With naught, sire, naught. He's a fine young man, very handsome, and of manners irreproachable. But, but he has no other interest in life but his hunting, your majesty. His father, King Prism, has suggested marriage to him, but he'll hear naught of it. He's very determined, sire.
Scarabell, eh? Determined, eh? May have just what Alwyn needs.
But, your majesty, King Prism has vowed that his son shall not marry but of his own free will.
That's all right, Thibault. It so happens that Prism owes me a tidy little sum that he borrowed from me for his last war. I'm sure the prince will listen to reason. He'll run along now and send my granddaughter to me.
You sent for me, Grandfather?
Yes, my child. To tell you that a marriage has been arranged.
For whom?
For you, Elwyn.
For me? Surely you jest, sire.
It is no jest, my dear. Messengers are already being sent to King Prism, informing him of the honor conferred upon his son.
And whose idea was this, Grandfather?
Thibault and I talked it over.
So... it wasn't really your wish at all. Well, it is best to forget it as quickly as possible, as I have no intentions to wed.
Who are you, girl, to speak to your sovereign in this wise?
Oh, forgive me, Grandfather, but do not ask me to marry any man yet.
It is time you cease straddling a horse and running with the huntsman. You're a woman, and it's time you started acting like one.
Grandfather?
I jest not. And every word is truth.
But, Grandfather, was it not you yourself who taught me to ride beside you in the hunt? To know no weakness and face things like a man.
Aye. So I did. Because I loved you and wished you with me always. But this marriage must proceed as I've said.
Nay, sire. I am not one of your serfs to be disposed of as you see fit. I am the Princess Alwyn, and I shall wed whom I please.
You dare defy me, girl?
The king's will is my law, but I'll never, never agree to wedlock.
But Alwyn, you'll have to marry sometime. Perhaps this Prince Scarabel is not so bad after all. I know he's very handsome.
How do you know?
Why, when your grandfather sent those messages to King Prism, one of the bowmen told me all about the prince.
How looks he, Una?
He is very tall and strong, and he knows no fear. While our men were there, a prisoner seized a spear and threw it at the king, his father. Scarabel threw up his arm and took the spear upon it. It was a frightful wound, and he bears the scar of it on his arm even now.
All this may be true, but it interests me little.
Forsooth, it should, for you'll have to marry him willy-nilly, and the king so wills.
If the princess were not here, he could wed no princess, could he?
How speak you?
I mean that we two are going to run away.
Oh, have you taken leave of your senses? Where in the kingdom could we hide that we would not be found?
I know of such a place. Go and have the horses saddled at once. I'll show my grandfather I'm not to be driven into a marriage.
Oh, it isn't as if I didn't understand, my son. On other occasions, I have accepted your decision. But this is different.
How so, sire?
Well, it is my misfortune to owe King Zadok a large sum of money. And if this marriage is not consummated, it will mean war.
Well, could you not raise the money by taxes and return it to him?
It is well and much wiser to ensure our diplomatic relations with Torbia. So, if old King Zadok has a granddaughter he wants to marry off, it's not for us to question why. And there's no other way, Scarabell.
So I am to give up my freedom and marry a damsel I've never even seen.
Ah, but if she be beautiful, it'll be a pleasant surprise.
I think not much of such surprises, Father. Howbeit, there seems naught else but to agree. And this I do on one condition.
And that is?
That you give me a fortnight's start with Bertram. I have a mind to have a look at this princess before I put my neck in the noose.
The curtain falls on the first act of Madcap Princes. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody has to tell you that electric lights are better than oil lamps, or that telephones are better than carrier pigeons. Well, here's something just as true. Being a member of the Chicago Motor Club is far better than just owning and driving a car. 75,000 member families know and appreciate that fact. They're actually assured maximum motoring pleasure at minimum motoring cost. Think what it means to have 26 money-saving services and benefits at your beck and call. Take the club's emergency road service, for example. No matter what happens to your car, day or night, you're always as close to help as the nearest telephone. Just listen to what Dr. B.L.T. Woods of Lincoln Park West, Chicago, says.
Anytime you want a recommendation as to your service, just call on me. In 2 years, 3 emergency calls, all answered in 20 minutes by the clock.
And Mrs. Anna M. Hecker of Chicago writes,
thank you for prompt service in my hour of need. Neither darkness nor rain prevented your service from reaching me within 20 minutes after calling. I think the Chicago Motor Club is essential for women drivers.
In case of tire trouble, weak battery, a frozen radiator, or any other motoring difficulty, just call Franklin 1818 in Chicago. In club territory beyond Cook County, you get in touch with the nearest official service station. And even though you are completely outside club territory, just call an affiliated service station, because the Chicago Motor Club's emergency road service is worldwide. And by the way, friends, even 5-mile towing service is free.
you'd better get the club's valuable free booklet right away. Send a postcard to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or call Franklin 1818. You really won't have any excuse for not getting that free booklet, because right after the next act of tonight's play, we're having a musical intermission long enough for you to write the Chicago Motor Club or call Franklin 1818. So don't fail to take immediate advantage of this valuable free booklet offer. Between Act 2 and 3, you'll have plenty of time to write the club or phone Franklin 1818 and ask for that free booklet. Now the second act curtain rises on Madcap Princes.
What ho!
Ah, the innkeeper. Canst care for two way-weary travelers and their horses?
Oh, I must decide. A bit will be put away for the night. Sit you down before yon fire, and I'll bring thee some cold bannocks and a joint of beef. Would you care for a pannikin of tea or a noggin of ale?
Aye, the ale for us, and also a bit of cheese, and you have it. And how call they you, sirrah?
I am called Simeon, one who hears. Yes, and never was a truer name given. For day in and day out, I hear Sarah, my wife, who talks without end. I'll send her in with your supper whilst I feed and water your horses and bed them down.
Come, let's sit by the fire and sup. Those last few miles carried a chill into my bones. That blazing log spells warmth and comfort.
Well, Bert, here we be, in enemy country. And shortly we shall see that damsel for whom I am to barter my soul. From all the reports we hear, she's a wild wench and will take some taming.
But it's also said she was very beautiful and well-loved by her subjects, and that she enjoys the hunt.
I want no maid hunting with me. Shh. Here comes our food. Ah, thank you, dame. And are you the Sarah, then, who talks? You seem full young to be the wife of our host.
Nay, sire. I am but one who serves here. Will your lordships have aught else?
Only the ale and cheese I asked for. But you mistake. We be not lords, but only two who come seeking service with the king of this realm. My friend here is Robert, and I am called, Stephen. Here, lass, is a florin for you.
Oh, thank you, sir, but
really?
Coming, Sarah. Your pardon, Messiah.
Methinks she hath fine manners for a serving wench. And her form is not hard to look upon.
I noted it not, Bert, but there was something in her face.
Here's your ale and cheese, my lord.
You'll be the second to make that mistake. We are not lords, but thank you for the ale. Where's the maid who served us first?
She had a task given her. Is there aught else, sir?
Thank you, not.
Hold, lass. What are you called?
I am Una, sir.
And thank you, Una. And here's a florin for you.
Thank you, sir. And when you be ready, call and I will light you to your room.
Sounds, but there grow pretty wenches in this part of the country. Now, this one. A little off the buxom side, but pert withal. Think you not, sire?
I had not noticed, Bert. It was the other I had wished to see again. Well, tomorrow I will. Art finished? Then let us call for candles and let your angel light us to bed.
How now, Princess? I had your word that you'd stay out of sight when I agreed to hide you here. Oh, lackaday, what will His Majesty do when he discovers that I've aided you in running away?
Don't cry, Sarah. Oh. They will be here but a short time, and then we shall never see them again. It gets a little lonely here, you know. Oh, Sarah, please, may I do the serving? Oh,
never, child. Let Una do it. Well, then, go ahead and have your way, but no good will come of it. No. Why, oh, why did you have to come here?
Why, Sarah, whom would I turn to, if not to my old nurse?
I promised your sainted mother I'd look after you. That I will as long as there's breath in this old body.
Whom do you suppose they really are, Sarah? He, the dark one, I mean, said they were serving men. But he has the manners of a great lord, and he gave me a florin.
You never took it, did you, Winnie?
Yes. Why not? When I return home, I shall have it pierced and wear it as a lucky charm.
Is that the only reason you wish to keep it? You're not taken with this dark young man, eh, Winnie?
Oh, of course not, you old dear. The other was very nice also. It is only that Una and I shall play a little game with them, and no harm will come.
And I hope not. Now run along to bed. Good night.
Well, do we journey on our way today, sire?
I think not, but the horses are badly in need of rest.
You're sure it's the horses you're thinking about, sire?
What other cause be there? Ah, here comes our breakfast. Those cakes smell good, my girl. And taste even better.
Thank you, sir. I have but baked them a short time since.
Then they shall taste doubly sweet since your hands have touched them.
La, sir, speak you so to all maids?
No, only to the young and pretty ones. Have you lived around here long?
All my life, sir.
Then perhaps you can tell us something of your princess. Can't tell us what sort of maid she be?
She is not to look upon, and her hair is red. She is of a temper most vile, and hath a tongue like a forked arrow.
Well, methinks you like the lady not. You're a bold wench, but if the princess were here, thy tongue would not clap her claw so much, I warrant you.
You asked me what I thought, and I said what I thought. Your pardon if I offended. Now, perhaps, you will answer me a question.
Speak, mistress.
You say you come from the north. Have you, by any happen chance, ever seen the Prince Scarabelle?
Oh, yes, my girl, yes, many times. In fact, I know him well.
What, then, is he like, this Paragon Prince?
Paragon? Who named him so? He's a choppy rogue and surly withal. He thinks of naught save his dogs and horses and hates all women. What is thy interest in him?
Only that he is to wed our princess, and I was curious, as all are.
Winnie, come and turn Bossy off the pasture.
Coming, Aunt Sarah. Is there anything else, sir?
A moment, and I'll go with you. I should like to turn my horse out also.
As you wish, sir. Art ready?
Of a certainty.
Then let us be gone to the pasture.
Winnie, a quaint name that suits you well, for winsome you are. Your skin is like that of a babe, and your eyes are those of a doe.
La, sir, what a pretty speech. 'Tis a pity to waste it on a poor country lass who doesn't believe a word you say.
And why think you I mean it not? Oh, here's the stile. Let me help you over it.
Thank you, my lord. And it is not necessary for you to keep your arm around my waist longer.
And who will stop me, lass?
Not Sarah, but this.
Ah, dagger, eh? Ah, fear not, mistress. I'd prefer the poniard's kiss to that of any wench. Yours most of all.
Take heed, Sarah. Were I a man, I'd lash you to your knees.
Ah, you've lost your cap. Zounds, but you're beautiful when you're in a temper. Your gold-red hair, your cherry-red lips, your devilish red temper.
And now, if you have quite finished, shall we return home? And I'll climb the stile this time.
The second act of Madcap Princess comes to a close. Your attention, if you please, ladies and gentlemen. Right now is an unusual chance to take immediate advantage of the Chicago Motor Club's important free offer. During this musical intermission, you'll have ample time to put in your request for that valuable free booklet entitled Spend Less to Own and Drive Your Car.
every club member realizes the importance of the proved information this booklet contains. While our orchestra plays, call Franklin 1818 or write down your name and address and have it all ready to mail to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or its nearest branch office. The third act of Madcap Princess will not start until you've had plenty of time to take advantage of this money-saving opportunity. We're all set for your request, ladies and gentlemen. A musical intermission while you call Franklin 1818 for your free booklet on the value of club membership, or write down your name and address. A penny postcard will do. And have it all ready to mail to the club. Now, don't forget, special night operators are waiting for your call to Franklin 1818 right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the third act of Madcap Princess.
It is a fair night, Stephen.
So it is, Winnie.
Does aught trouble you, my lord?
A great deal, lass. On the morrow, Bertram and I must take the road to the castle.
Why must you needs go, Stephen?
Well, in a few days the tourney begins. But how can I leave you, Winnie?
Would it then mean so much to you?
Everything in the world, my sweet. I love you, Winnie.
Oh, Stephen, why didn't you tell me before? Hold me tight, for I know this cannot last.
Your lips, darling. Those red lips I once scorned. Sweet. I loved you even then.
I am yours, Stephen. Oh, dear my lord. Now must you go the morrow?
I must go. But I'm coming back to you. But
Aquinas has no desire to leave them.
Careful how you call me. The name is Stephen, and you well know what my interest is here.
To be sure, sire. But have I not the same myself?
What mean you?
You and I.
You're fortunate. You have nothing to keep her from you.
so here is my blessing, but...
Father! Be all dumb!
Heaven help us, the Black Knight.
Away, Vinegar Village! The St. John made to serve me. Ha ha! That is better! Bring me bread and cheese, girl, and wine to wash it down. And now a kiss, wench.
Let me go, Bert. I'll settle with him.
Oh, sire. It would be fatal for tomorrow when you are wounded in a tavern brawl.
No wonder they call you the Black Knight. The name becomes you well.
Yeah, we'll have that kiss. You have the spirit of a wildcat. I like my women with temper.
Take your hand from the maid, villain.
Ah, stripling, do I trespass? Away with you. Don't you dare stop me with my own gauntlet. Draw your sword, you puny fetchling.
Brave words from a great card. En garde, sirrah.
Thank you.
More candles, sirrah. Sire, let me handle this.
Ah, away, Bert. I'll take care of this myself.
Hurry, that, you stupid dog.
Oh, stop him, Robert. He will kill Stephen.
It's too late now. Pray heaven to help him.
Call that fencing, you clumsy fool.
Take that. Stop. Touché. Too bad she's not a bit lower.
Oh, take this. Stop him. Oh, look. Stephen has been wounded.
Tis but a shoulder wound. And the left, praise God. Stand back.
Oh, this business bores me. I must needs end it quickly.
Name of the saints. Stephen's run him through.
Stephen. Robert, he is falling.
Oh, help me lift him to the settle.
Yes.
He's trying to speak.
Tomorrow, darling, to the castle. And then we two.
Robert, is he dead?
Nay, he has but fainted. He is of strong person, and this be but a scratch. I'll hear Sarah with the dressings and hot water. Now I can go for Simeon.
Oh, see, Sarah, how his poor arm bleeds. Quick, help me to cut the sleeve. So. Look, the scar.
What is it, child?
It is the prince. Oh, goodbye, my darling. Sarah, you know what I must do. Take good care of them for me, won't you? And tell Simeon to saddle our horses. Una and I ride to the castle tonight.
His Royal Majesty, King Zedek of Torbia.
Your Majesty, there is something...
Tell me later, Scarabelle. See, the princess is entering.
Her Royal Highness, the Princess Elwyn.
Verily, Una, I am all in a twitter. Thanks, thou, I look well.
You are a dream, Alwyn. You're like a fairy princess. Never have I seen one more beautiful.
Dear Una, wish me well. We are nearly to the throne. There he sits beside grandfather. Mark how pale he is, how wan his look. His eyes downcast that he may not see the princess.
Hush, we approach. He will hear you.
Prince Scarabelle, allow me to present my granddaughter, the Princess Elwyn. You.
My lord, be you disappointed in your princess?
Your Majesty, I have the honor to request the hand of the Princess Elwyn in marriage.
It is granted, my son, with an old man's blessing.
Thinkest thou wilt be able to put up with this awful princess for the rest of thy life?
Aye, vile temper and all. But never shall I forget sweet Winnie of the tavern.
Nor I, Stephen, who would have died for her and given up a princess in a throne.
Remove thy wimple, Alwyn, that I may see the moon upon thy hair, thy glorious red hair.
And equally red temper. But all that is past now, Scarabelle. For you... I will settle down.
Settle down, indeed. You shall ride beside me in your leather breeches with a spear in your hand and the wind in your hair.
Oh, have a care, Stephen. Oh, your poor arm.
By the rood, there's not the matter with the other, nor thy lips. Ah, oh, beloved, in all the years to come, let us always keep this moment with us. My madcap princess.
The Chicago Motor Club's Wayside Theater production of Madcap Princess comes to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give you one of the finest Christmas gift suggestions I know of. What would be more appreciated by a motorist than a membership in the Chicago Motor Club? It's a year-long gift, and it's economical, too. The club has prepared an attractive gift package containing the membership card, the club emblem, various maps, and other items of lasting usefulness. You may enclose your personal Christmas card if you wish. For complete details, phone Franklin 1818 or drop a note to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or the branch office nearest your home. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, when you write or phone the club, be sure and request that valuable free booklet, Yours Merely for the Asking. It explains how 75,000 member families are spending less to own and drive their cars. Remember, write to the club or just call Franklin 1818. In the cast of tonight's play, you heard our popular stars Olin Soule playing Scarabell and Patricia Dunlap playing Alwyn. They were supported by Leslie Woods, Constance Crowder, Forrest Lewis, Herb Butterfield, Bill Boucher, Brett Morrison, and Michael Romano. Be sure and be with us again next Sunday evening at this same hour for the Wayside Theater. This is Vern Smith speaking for the Chicago Motor Club.
This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.